we want to honor Tim Craig and Michelle tonight. Will you help me do that as Tim comes forward?
Thank you very much, Joe. Thank you all. What I have to share tonight, the primary revelation I suppose I received on the 27th of February this year, because I remember because it was 3 days before our Michelle and my anniversary, and I was here at church 2 hours before we were supposed to be leaving on a cruise to celebrate our anniversary. Just really compelled to go to the prayer meeting before church, and the church was about to start their fast. And the revelation is to do with intimacy and the bride of Christ. Now, Michelle and I, we've part of our goals and visions and feeding life into our marriage, one of the things we've agreed to do is read at least 2 marriage-related books in a year. And just prior, about a month before the cruise, we had just finished reading a book by a Christian psychologist by the name of Dr. Kevin Lehman. He's a relational psychologist. I don't know whether that's actually a thing. My wife's training to be a clinical psychologist, so I've got to check these technical details. But he specializes in marriages. And this particular book was talking about intimacy within marriage. And while reading this book, a phrase or a passage jumped out at me. And Kevin, from his own sessions with clients, from research gathered from other psychologists, he discovered that there's 2 key threats to intimacy within marriage. One for women, one for men. There's plenty of others, but these 2 key ones he identified for women was weariness and exhaustion. For men, I was surprised to learn this, was the lack of interest and initiation on the part of their wife. So I read that and I thought, okay, interesting. Moved right along, came to this prayer meeting on this particular Sunday morning, just praying away, and God sort of just brought that passage back to me again. And I'm like, okay, what's in this? And Holy Spirit sort of just whispered that it's not just marital intimacy that weariness and exhaustion threaten, it's spiritual intimacy, our intimacy with Him. And I think we all know what it's like to be in a season of exhaustion, and it's just so difficult to hear what Holy Spirit's trying to say. I've been through seasons where it's 6 months of reading the Bible every day, yet not gleaning a single thing. Or so I thought. I left my cup of water. But I'd never really considered what the lack of interest, the lack of initiation and boredom on my part did to my relationship with Jesus. And Holy Spirit revealed to me that I am the bride of Christ. Now, for a man, for me, that's been something that's been very difficult to grasp, being the bride. Because as men, as humans, we have this idea of what a bride looks like. It's a dress, it's flowers, it's excited bridesmaids, it's all the stuff. Lots of giggling and squealing, and from what I know. Anyway. I know my wife's bridesmaids, so I know what it would have been like. Except my wife on the night of our wedding was finishing off an honours paper. So maybe a little bit less laughing and giggling from her. And I think this concept of this idea of being the bride of Christ has been something very, very difficult for men as a whole to grasp, because we're men. And I myself am naturally, as most of you who know me will know, I am a lot more naturally inclined toward the very masculine parts of God and his word. David, yes, mighty warrior, king, overlook the harp. This was my old thinking. This isn't what I was thinking, what I'm thinking now. David and his mighty men, Josheb, Eliezer, Shammah, Benaiah, a few of my favourites, killing lions in a pit on a snowy day, killing 600 Philistines till his hand froze to his sword and could not let it go. Yeah. It was actually requested of me that I actually speak tonight with, I have a medieval sword at home. People requested that I speak with my sword in hand, but it's not quite the message. It is wholly, I suppose in a sense, more tender. And the last few years for me have been a journey of learning to see not just the strength in God's strength, but the strength in God's beauty. To see not just the strength in David and his mighty man and Samson and Joshua, but to see the strength in the compassion of Jesus and the apostles and Song of Solomon. I remember we headed off on our cruise, and initially for me it was this revelation was primarily one for my marriage. I was heading off on a 10-day cruise to celebrate and to sow into my marriage for the year ahead. This revelation was actually my devotional content for the period of our cruise. And God just unpacked this, that the first thing that struck me was the fact that I am a husband and my wife is my wife. And Jesus is my husband, which sounds really weird, and for me was really difficult to stomach because it's such a strange concept in my manliness. But God really gave me fresh eyes to see that I am the bride of Christ. Each of us, Jew and Gentile, will be the bride of Christ when he returns. Man and woman will be the bride of Christ. And God said to me, as we headed off on our cruise, he said to me, put yourself in the place, if you look at this revelation, you know that what weariness and exhaustion do to your intimacy with me. And he said, you've received that also from Michelle. We both study full time. We know what it's like to be tired and exhausted. My wife is doing her master's and she has a 60-hour work week without assignment content, just with uni. We know what exhaustion and weariness look like. And God spoke to me and he said, okay, you know what that's like. He said, you also know what it would be like, and my wife is incredible, I'm not saying that I actually experienced this from her, but God sort of revealed to me what my heart would experience if my wife was to show disinterest, was to not initiate intimacy with me, and would not pursue our relationship. And he just showed me this part of my heart, and he said, now what you're experiencing here, he he said, merely scratches the surface of what I experience when you do not show interest, initiation, in intimacy with me as your Messiah, as your husband. And it rocked me. And I was devastated, like feeling this hurt that God had placed upon my heart to allow me to just have a taste of what it's like to experience the lack of interest or boredom, what it would feel like if I was to receive that from my wife. He allowed me to feel it so I could get a glimmer of an understanding of what he experiences when I do not pursue him. Not because I'm weary, not because I'm busy, but because sometimes I grow ho-hum. And he let me experience that for a while and let that settle in. And then he said, now, he said, you know what it feels like to be pursued. You know what it feels like for your wife to be interested and initiate in intimacy with you. You know that joy. And I knew immediately then, I knew that joy in my heart. And God said, that is but a glimmer of what I experience when my bride pursues me. See, Revelation 19 7 through 8, it's headed the marriage of the Lamb. And it says, let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, and for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And what struck me was it says, his bride made herself ready. And when Jesus comes for the wedding feast, which here at Flame Tree we've been able to present and experience just a glimmer of that with the feasts. He's coming, but it's for us to ready ourselves. The groom does not go to the bride the morning of the wedding and dress her. And I know that when Michelle was picking out her wedding dress, she actually took quite a lot of consideration into what I would love, what I desired, what I would be absolutely astounded to see her walk down that aisle in. And for that, I'm incredibly grateful. And she looked stunning, absolutely stunning. And Jesus longs for us to do the same. Joel made a comment this morning that, paraphrased, obedience and intimacy go hand in hand. By the way, I'm not going to stand here and tell you the 5 steps to intimacy to make yourself the bride of Christ. I just want to sort of share a revelation and you can let Holy Spirit do what he wants to do with that in you. Where was I? Obedience and intimacy. That's it. Sorry. For me, that's looked like a lot of things. It's looked like stepping out in the prophetic. It's looked like reaching out and saying, stepping into speaking in tongues, which for me was very difficult. But I've experienced such a joy that's been released walking in the prophetic and speaking in tongues, not to say, hey, look at me, but merely I experience the joy of Jesus when I do those things. And I actually realized while we were on our cruise, I used to walk around and I'd sing almost constantly, whether it sounded good or not. And we're standing in line waiting to get off the boat to go on the tender to go to the island. And I'm standing there, and for a minute I thought I was singing. I'm looking out the day outside, like it's really nice, looking at the couple in front of me arguing, just singing. And then I realized that I was actually just standing there speaking in tongues. And I sort of halted for a minute because it was like I was singing to myself. And I sort of had that momentary thing of just like, I am surrounded by people right now. And it dawned on me for the first time that my default had gone from singing whatever song came to just standing there going, this is glorious, and releasing that in the spirit. And that obedience has increased my intimacy with him. And I'm finding, particularly as I'm studying, I need to take whatever chances I can get to press in, whether it's a study break or it's the last half hour to psych myself up to write 1,500 words in the last hour and a half before it's due at midnight. Oh, yeah, and then there's references to do. The joys. And the other one of the other things for me has been obedience in flagging. Many of you have seen me worship with flags, and I get quite a few questions about it. Because I remember about 8 years ago, if there was any flagging, it was only ladies. And if there was flagging, it didn't look like how I flag now. And it was nice and floating banners and all very, very lovely, incredible worship. And I love it, but I remember having these ladies almost hounding me, saying, oh, you should flag. Because they'd seen me a couple of times come in during the worship band was practicing on a Sunday night. And I'd wander in and I'd just sort of pick up a flag and I would just twirl it as though I'm lining up for a duel. I just imagine that the flaggy bit wasn't there and it was a nice sharp blade on the end and my opponent was standing opposite me. I actually, when we got the new carpet put in, we cleared all the pews out and I actually had my sword, perchance, in the back of my car. That was a lot of fun, but it's not very crowd friendly, shall we say. I didn't hit anyone, I promise. Anyway, one of these sort of just practice sessions where I was just sort of messing around with a flag, God just struck me and he said, look down at your hands and the flag in them. He said, these are the weapons of your warfare. Use them as such. And I'm looking at one of these flags over here, and they're nice and shiny, and they've got like little sequins on them, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Maybe I'll use this instead of a sword, Laura. But he spoke to me as I twirled it. He said, these are the weapons of your warfare, use them as such. For your warfare is worship, and your worship is warfare. And you may not be able to understand what that little revelation has actually done for me in my intimacy with Jesus. Because I find myself not only just walking around, sometimes singing, sometimes speaking in tongues, but I also find my hand is almost constantly doing some movements, and I find, wow, I'm not just standing in line, I'm worshiping without me knowing it. And I remember I danced with the Jubilee Dancers for the first time at Feast of Tabernacles last year, and Ginny came up to me and she said, you know, I remember 8 years ago when the ladies were hounding you to do flags. And you said, no, I'll never do flags. Never say never. But the fact is, it hasn't been begrudging, merely because God spoke to me in my language. He said, you see the beauty of this flag. You read scriptures like the banner over you is love. And it increases my intimacy with him because God speaks my language. And that's why I can't stand here and give you the 5 steps to intimacy. Because you read books and there's the 5 love languages. And then there's the 5 love languages for men and women and children and teens and university students and animals. And it's all good stuff. But the fact of the matter is we're all different. We all have a completely unique makeup. So I can't tell you what intimacy looks like for you. I can only share what intimacy looks like for me and how I've had to be obedient to see that flourish, to see that grow. And so I come back to being the masculine bride of Christ. It's still to a degree an interesting idea because I haven't completely gotten past my preconceptions of what it looks like to be a bride. And so this is a revelation in progress. But the fact of the matter is, even when we show disinterest, when we don't initiate intimacy with him, when we appear bored with him, Jesus pursues us relentlessly. He never slumbers, he never sleeps. And he spoke to me and he said, that's what it looks like to be a husband. He said, because there will be seasons when your wife is weary and exhausted. And I'm not saying this is a cue for, you know what, women, you now all have to pursue your men. Yes, we delight in being pursued. It's true. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, some people might, like, there's a possibility someone might take that as an excuse to, oh, well, I'm going to wait for my wife to pursue me because what I've been doing hasn't been working. And you could do that. But the fact of the matter, it is Jesus who is the groom, who is the husband, which the word says, pursues us relentlessly. Regardless of our weariness, our disinterest, our open disobedience, Jesus pursues us. And I'm learning a lot. About my relationship with him and have this growing desire to prepare for the wedding as the bride. While we were worshipping, I had a little analogy come to me. Michelle and I, we got married just under 18 months ago. It'll be 18 months on the 30th. And we got engaged 66 days before we got married. And started dating, we got engaged in December and we started dating in end of March. Which for me and Michelle, we're both relatively cautious people when it comes to relationships, seemed like a bit of a whirlwind. Except we started dating, we had about 10 days, and then Michelle went off to the Philippines for 10 days, returned for 3, and I left for 3 months. And this is the image that came to me during worship, was while I was off on my trip, Israel, Europe, various places, my wife was left behind, dealing with the ho-hum of writing uni, everyday life, having a puppy that was on antidepressants because he broke his leg, all these ups and downs and exciting things of life that occur. And her groom, if I'll use the language, we didn't know at that point. Well, maybe. but for the sake of the illustration, I'm the groom. And so I'm off traveling and she's getting text messages and we're getting to Skype every couple of days when there's reception. And we even had Nick play messenger for us because Michelle wrote a letter to give to Nick to give to me when he finally caught up with me in Israel. And then I gave him one to give to her when he came back home because I was gone for longer. And I thought, you know what, this is a lot like what it's like with Jesus sometimes. Because sometimes I don't always hear what Jesus is doing for me immediately right now, but you know what? I hear rumors of what he's doing around the world. I hear of revival, I hear of healings, I hear of people being raised from the dead. And it's like Jesus has gone in the physical sense. But we hear rumors of what he's doing, of what he's preparing for the celebration to come when he's reunited with his wife. And this is where it departs from our allegory because I returned very tired and very sick from our trip. But Jesus is coming. And this is where I love this masculine bit of the groom. Because after the marriage of the Lamb, it talks about the coming of Christ. And it says, I saw heaven opened and behold a white horse. And he who sat on it was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire. And on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And it goes on talking about armies and horses and rods of iron. And on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's not returning exhausted. He's not returning weary. Our groom is returning full of vigor. And he is prepared to celebrate. But the thing is, we're the bride, and we have to get ourselves ready. Now, me for a groom, I did not know when my wife was going to be ready. Michelle and the girls actually turned up a little bit late because they left one of the girls in the bathroom back at the house where they got ready. Got to the car park and went, aren't you supposed to have 4 bridesmaids? Who have we left behind? Meanwhile, Joel and I are standing there going, don't rain, don't rain, don't rain. And you know what? It ceased raining 5 minutes before and started raining 5 minutes after the ceremony. God is good. But see, Jesus, he knows when we're ready. We don't, because we don't know the day nor hour. But Jesus wants us to prepare. And that doesn't mean I have to go out and buy a white dress and buy some nice flowers and da-da-da-da and shave my beard. Thank goodness. But it's about intimacy. It's about obedience. It's seeking him at all times, regardless of where we are, at home, church, work, public. And it's not necessarily loud, actually majority of it isn't, because it's all in the heart. And we, in a sense, we clothe our hearts in fine linen. Not to cover anything up, but the fact that in the fine linen that he gives us, we are healed. Because Ephesians says, get my hand up. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present himself, the church, in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. A church there refers to a group of people, a congregation. Not just the Christian church, because it's Jew and Gentile, and it's men and women. We men don't get to stand back and watch all our women get married to Jesus and we're like, off to the holy army. As nice as that would be, but the fact of the matter is that in heaven, I'm going to be able to worship with sword. I like to think so. It's not in here, but for me, because I know my heart's desire and I know what Jesus has placed in me, and the fact of the matter that he pointed a flag and he said, these are the weapons of your warfare, use them as such. I know that he delights in the very, very masculine things that he's placed in me. But he wants me to be obedient in learning to see to find and seek out the mystery that is strength within intimacy. He wants us to seek that out. Seek him out. We can't sit here waiting for him to return. He wants us to get ready and with joy and giggling and screaming and probably not honours thesis papers before he gets back, but who knows. But that's what he seeks. He seeks intimacy with us. And the thing that gets me really excited is the fact that intimacy here on earth is a glimmer of what we will experience in heaven for eternity. It's just a glimmer. And I mean intimacy here on earth, spiritually and within marriage, is an incredible thing. It's amazing. God is so very good. But intimacy in heaven is going to be a whole other story of what we experience now is good. What we will experience is better. But we need to be prepared. And he's calling us to obedience. Because in obedience, we find intimacy. So I encourage you to persevere. When you feel as though you may be lacking interest or you're growing weary, it's okay, because he's still pursuing you. but do not take your eyes off him. Because he lifts our burdens. He carries the weight. We can bring it to him and give it to him. And I know that's hard. I know. Been there, done that. But if we do not remove our eyes from him, our intimacy will grow. One final thought. Just remembered a podcast I was listening to this week from Jonathan David and Melissa Helser. And they were speaking on centering yourself in life, marriage, and ministry. And Jonathan shared a story of when he and Melissa were engaged. And he said, they went out to dinner, and he was just looking into her eyes, and he said they just kept going closer and closer and closer until the point where he could actually see his reflection in her eyes. And that's what Jesus longs to see. He longs for us to lean in, to lean right in, to the point where we can see our reflection in his eyes. And we see what we look like in his eyes, and all else falls away. It's just me and him. That's it. And that's what it's about, being the bride of Christ. It's an individual thing. Intimacy is a, you can't, well, maybe you can get a group of people together and go, we're going to be intimate with Christ. But for me, I see it as a very, very personal thing, to lean in to Jesus, to look into his eyes and see my reflection. To see all the stuff fall away. And all it is the fire in his eyes. The reckless, furious, incredible love, the unending, incomparable grace that is in his eyes when he looks at me. Look into his eyes and pursue intimacy. Whatever that looks like, regardless of how outrageous it may seem at first, because if you are persistent in what he calls you to be obedient in, you will find that that thing is what actually grows your intimacy with him. Be blessed.